This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Rob, what was the thing that really popped for you watching this game? I mean, we talked about Patterson, Pitts, pick one. Drake London, what made it work for you?
They finished the game, my friend. They finished. I got to see Marcus Mariota in victory formation. Take a knee, Falcons win, happy flight home.
Right. It could have been a win against the Saints. And again, I know I've said, I keep saying this, but I keep going back to it. I got to let it go.
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Wow, I'm preserved in perpetuity.
Could be 2-1. I mean, yes. Chris, actually, I lied because I've gone back to it three times today. But again, we're 1-2. Could be 2-1. Could be 3-0.
Could be. It's Dukes and Bell. Rob Tribble filling in for Carl on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. George, you're getting ready to head up to Missouri to play, oddly enough, Missouri. So let's talk dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs. The Dog Report is brought to you by Engineered Solutions of Georgia, a proud partner of the Georgia Bulldogs.
Well, Mike, I guess the fundamental thing I can say about Missouri is they helped Brian Harsin keep his job for another week.
Yeah,
that's all I can say.
Well, that fat kicker from Missouri couldn't get the thing to the uprights. I mean, that was like Jared Lorenzen. Remember the
Pillsbury throw boy.
No, I mean, look, hey, we could all use a little loose some LBs.
You're Rob
is actually in the best shape since I've known you. You're doing great. I've got to lose. Well, I mean, I'm doing all this stuff. ATL Live Well gives me all the tools. The problem is I go on these benders like in Tallahassee where I do nothing but fast food and, you know,
fast food and drink, my friend.
Bar tab was, you don't know what that bar tab was on a Saturday.
The national debt, probably.
It was big. But no, man, you're in great shape. But I mean, this dude, let's be honest, when you saw him on TV, if you didn't watch the game live or you saw the highlights, I saw it on College Football Final. I'm like, a fat kicker. You know? and he just pushed it. I mean, just hard right.
Kickers are having too much say in games, it seems like, especially in college.
Well, the phrase they use, you know, college kicker situation, it crops up. But in the case of the Auburn Tigers, because Rob, again, filling in for Carl, haven't had a chance to talk to you about it, it's almost like it's an untenable situation at Auburn for Harsin, knowing that you had a good amount of boosters or alumni or at least some guys in that decision-making process who have influence trying to get you fired last year.
Well, they did it to Tuberville. Bobby Lauder's the worst, didn't he? He's the one brings in Bobby Petrino in the dead of night.
Yeah, they flew up that clandestine meeting. Yep. For younger guys who don't know that backstory, that actually happened. But in this case, Harsin, you know, I mean, they brought in the young assistant that he brought from Boise. That was a big thing. It was like that had about a 72-hour media life. Either way, had they lost to Missouri, is he fired?
I think so.
Well,
what do they have? LSU this weekend? If LSU blows them out, I think they're just waiting to pull that trigger.
LSU is in the same boat as a lot of other teams where they brought new coaches in, had to go to the transfer portal. I mean, FSU beat them, but LSU could have very easily come back. And when they need more consistency at the quarterback position. Mm-hmm. That's the thing for LSU. Still got some guys who can make plays on both sides of the ball. So to me, this is like an even Steven type deal. I think if you fire him over losing to LSU, I don't know about that. I mean, it's always going to be.
I just think they're just waiting for a reason, even more of a reason, I guess. It seems like the drama has calmed down a bit, but now you need to. And you got to remember, he almost beat Alabama last year. Auburn almost beat Alabama last year.
LSU comes to Jordan-Hare. So it's not like you're – I mean, had you been going out there, that's a different animal. So
I wonder if that's going to be a weather game. So with the outskirts of the
– I think they'll be okay. I mean, like, I'm no meteorologist. We've got friends over at the Weather Channel. It just looks like we're going to get some feeder bands. You know, there'll be some wind gusts and some rain will zip through. So if you're going to
the squalls, as they call it.
Same thing. So, you know, for Georgia, you know, I mean, it's luckily they're in Mizzou, but for a game like the Braves game we talked about earlier, just it looks like things, if the models are correct, it's going to go towards the Carolinas, but we're going to feel some of it.
Yep. But as for Georgia, I was reading some of the previews from the Missouri side. You know, Georgia might have some vulnerabilities. Those Kent State cornerbacks kind of put the kibosh on Georgia's receiver, but they could not stop the running game. Blah, blah, blah. Give me a break. Georgia was bored. They were bored on Saturday.
I don't like to make those excuses, but Kirby, as we said on Monday's show, is going to have tons and tons of things to yell at these guys about.
He's been yelling at them continuously since Sunday.
Did he have to apologize about yelling at Ladd McConkie?
No, what I brought up was people on social media, of course, the decency police took exception to the fact that he was yelling at him. I would never let anybody yell at my son like that. Okay, well.
But your kid's not playing at a football factory,
he's
so shut up.
Well, he's going to be a little soy boy beta male then.
Yeah. I mean, it was
dominated by women his whole life.
I don't know about that either, but it was a dumb decision. Kirby got all over him for that one. They were just sloppy. I thought, you know, Stetson Bennett was sloppy. He overthrows a wide-open receiver. There are a lot of things that need to be tightened up. There was a letdown there, and Kirby's going to use it to the advantage. I'm more concerned about Kenny McIntosh. He was telling Dog Nation it's going to be, quote, lots of ice baths ahead of me, because obviously the M&M boys, McIntosh, a little banged up and might not be able to compete this week.
But they got so much depth. You know, there are guys that probably haven't seen game action that we're going to see. Oh, they're every bit as good. Oh, another 4 or 5 star is going to come in. Everything's going to be just fine. I mean, that's what separates the top tier from everybody else. Your second stringers and third stringers. You know, every would start for any other team in America.
So the get a couple of wide receivers back, by the way, Arian Smith and A.D. Mitchell. Yep. You're just talking about, you know, what Missouri's secondary is going to do. We'll have more weapons for Stetson Bennett to throw at up in Columbia.
You know what? I did like Missouri for one reason. Remember they came into the SEC, 2011?
Right.
And everybody's rolling their eyes and laughing. And what do? They just end up going to back-to-back SEC championship games. And I did love that because of the superiority complex that the SEC has. And they deserve to have it, too. But good for Missouri to do what they have done in the past.
It was kind of those years, like when the year that Rick lost to Boise State. Those were years that, you know, Missouri never should ever have come into the SEC. But Gary Pinkel did a really nice job. Had good quarterbacks. Those were the years Missouri and Kansas State weren't too bad. Remember that? Yeah. And
look what Kansas State did to Oklahoma. But
right.
That's the thing, what's interesting about college football. Oh, watch out. Oklahoma's what they always were. They can score 50, but they're going to give up 55.
And this is something I always buzz Carl's chops on, because he played high school football, played at Texas, is when they play pickup football, or you're making a team, does everybody put their hand up to play offense?
And I know.
Nobody wants to play linebacker. Nobody wants to play defense. Certainly nobody wants to play cornerback.
Oh, that's Texas is back, baby. No, they're not.
But and there was a story earlier today I heard Andy Randy talk about on their show that Steve Sarkisian has listed it. I don't know if he has multiple properties in Austin or if he's – but apparently a house for sale, and it's listed at $7.2 million in Austin.
Jeez.
Which is, again –
with those interest rates? Are you kidding me?
It gets people's tongues wagging just because, you know, when guys put a property of that nature up, it's like, can't speak to that. I don't know what his intentions are. He's going to be – I mean, they can't keep going through coaches like Sox at Texas, can they?
No, you can't.
You got to ride this thing out.
You have to strive for some sort of stability.
You got Arch Manning coming right now. Yeah. And if that doesn't work, I don't know what to tell you. But you've got the greatest quarterbacks, and sliced bread is coming next year to your program.
How many of those guys that are so overly hyped like that end up not bearing any fruit? I don't think that's going to be the case with Arch because of his pedigree and his lineage. Of course, he's got, you know, his two uncles coaching him up, giving him the finer points of the game. He's gone to all the elite camps, this, that, and the other. So maybe he's not necessarily a can't miss, but it makes you wonder, though. We had a guy when I was growing up here in Decatur, when I went to Avondale. His name was Billy Ray, and he went to Dunwoody. That's all you heard about. Right. Billy Ray, Billy Ray, Billy Ray, Billy Ray. Ended up at Duke, and he was okay, but it never ended up. I think that hype is actually a really bad thing for someone like that, for a kid that age.
You do now with the portal see a guy transfer. I mean, Joe Burrow is the classic case. Joe Burrow, I mean, he saw the writing on the wall. And in some cases, for every one Joe Burrow, there's 10 other, 15 other guys that transfer and are just never get traction.
Yep.
Tate Martell from Ohio State.
How many schools is he? Is he still around at, what is he, 30? Where is he now?
Yeah.
Southeastern, Oklahoma, Central,
where is
he now?
That's one of those guys where you're like, okay, where is this going? I mean, Florida State had a guy that went, was it Zaire somebody, that came down from Notre Dame?
Yes, I remember him.
And it's for everyone, so the point I'm getting to, for everyone Joe Burrow, you could literally get like a two
Malik
dozen.
Zaire,
Malik Zaire, thanks guys. Malik Zaire was his name. Those kind of dudes. in the case of you said it, the pedigree. It's hard to imagine that Arch Manning doesn't just come in and light it up. And Sarkisian, they went there. Georgia was in for the mix. Did you ever believe in your heart of hearts he was coming to UGA?
No.
Because I always felt Sarkisian over Monken, and then Monken. Yeah. It's kind of funny how Todd Monken got in his bag between the Nick Saban prodding about how Georgia's not as dynamic an offense, that they're throwing it around more. Real quick, there is some injury information. Now, again, Kirby kind of plays it, a little close to the vest. Tyke Smith is the backup, technically the transfer from West Virginia. Talking about, I know you want to mention Javon Bullard, the DUI arrest. Said it yesterday on the show, but you want to double down. I hate when people get all giddy. Oh, look, trouble at Georgia again. Yeah, you got nearly 80 guys in your program. One guy got a DUI. You wish it hadn't happened, but people want to define a program or define a young man or something like that. I guess you guys, you were perfect when you were 18.
Oh, absolutely perfect.
I don't buy it.
No, I don't either. I mean, I was just a mediocre Division II pitcher, and I was probably more of a knucklehead than Bullard is. You made a mistake that particular night, but thankfully nobody got hurt. Jalen Carter and the ankle, I wonder about that because that's something that could, especially when you're putting all that weight on it, trying to run around as athletic as he is.
Right.
I wonder if that's something that's going to make him, even him a step slow is probably going to be better than most people in the country. But that's still a bit of a concern, though.
Yeah, it's Arian Smith, ankle questionable. We'd already talked to him. A.D. Mitchell for the wide receiver core, ankle listed as questionable. McIntosh, you just mentioned, thigh, questionable. Questionable with the DUI arrest is Bullard, and you just talked about Jalen Carter. So you're going on the road to Missouri, and some of your playmakers are dinged up.
Just get it done. Get out of there with a win. Try to get out of there as healthy as possible. I think you're going to – I wouldn't want to be Missouri this week after – what happened last week and the way Kirby's probably treating them this week. I think George is going to come out and just get it done early.
I'm with you. And also, by the way, we found out it was not the KAs. I don't want to cast aspersions on Cap Alpha. It was the Pike House that had the sign that said...
Well, there's other reasons to do that.
That's right, Stonewall. But no, as far as the house that was hanging the sign that said, to hell with Jeff, it was the Pikes. Over by the baseball stadium over it. Come on, Pikes. I'd say you're better than that, but I know a lot of the Pikes. Maybe you're not better than that.
Don't kick the West Georgia weren't. We hated them with the heat of 1,000 suns, my
friend. Kick the guy while he's down. I mean, Lee's gone, but they were the ones that Jeff Schultz had the picture of the sign on campus.
We have a very special guest coming up next.
Hey, man, it's Wes Drew Ham, also known as Wes Durham, on the Falcons and college football. Next.
It's Dukes and Bell. Rob Tribble filling in for Carl Dukes. Without further ado, he is the voice of the Atlanta Falcons and many, many other things. Let's go out to Wes Durham. Wes!
Coach Tribble,
yes,
welcome back.
Wes, I got a story for you. My daughter is a sophomore at UNC Chapel Hill. She absolutely loves it. She's thriving. And when I moved her in last year, I'd never been up there. So I immediately made a beeline to Carmichael. I had to see that building. Of course, I thought about your dad and the ghost of Worthy and Steve Hale and Michael Jordan, because I was an ACC basketball junkie, and I guess I owe it all to Food Lion, don't I?
Yeah, Food Lion or Holly Farms or Sailing with the Pilot, take your pick.
But it was so cool to finally get to visit up there, and she absolutely loves it, and that means she's going to be able to afford to put me in a good home, which is more important.
Well, I'm getting ready to say, because the money you're cashing through to send her to Chapel Hill is impressive.
Well, she earned that, luckily, because of her gray matter.
Oh, good. Yep. That's important. So, unlike Mike and I, we just tried to get through, period.
I was going to say, I still needed a few more hours there from VPI. It is our man, Wes Durham. Wes Drewham, as we love to say. Wes, it was so much fun. Yes, it was a bit of a roller coaster at the end, but just loving the way the offense looks. To have Pitts and London, and again, Mariota, I mean, when he's on and making throws, it's just so much fun to watch, and Patterson as well.
Yeah, no, I think a couple things we touched on last week, the ability to run the ball, obviously, and here's the deal. Seattle, the old Dennis Green line, right? They were who we thought they were, right? They started off running it like a house of fire with Rashad Penny. So Atlanta kind of had to get up on their toes early, and I think that was a good thing, right? I thought that, Marcus did a really good job guiding them down the field. They kick an early field goal, that kind of thing. But nonetheless, they answered the road call, so to speak. And that showed me the edginess I think they played with mentally as much as physically, Mike and Rob, because I think when you lose the way you did in Los Angeles, you felt okay about the comeback, but you really hated the first half. And then to have Seattle kind of threaten there early, you had to put a stop to that, because the last thing you wanted to do was fall behind again. And I was really impressed with the mental toughness as well as the game plan on Sunday. And, you know, we'll see. I think it could be a big thing. But underline, question mark, is it enough to get you kind of the momentum you need to then capitalize this Sunday against a Browns team that's 2-1 and, you know, is coming off some rest here? I mean, they played last Thursday night against Pittsburgh. Second time in four games, Atlanta's drawn the card of somebody who's had a little longer to get ready maybe than most this time of year.
Well, Wes, I've been following this team and covering it. You know, I go back to like 1973 with this team. So
sure.
This team, there's just something so interesting and likable about it. Granted, they run me through the gamut of emotions, but at least I feel something. You know, there's been many years I felt nothing.
Yeah, I think it's – look, I think it's about the process. And you know, this is like – you know, Rob, Mike, and Carl and I have talked about it. This is the boring part of this, okay? This is the part where they're building.
Yep.
And nobody ever wants to talk about that. Just, you know, tell me what it looks like at the end and are we going to win, you know, continually for years and years. This part is the hard part. And look, Sunday was a bit of a high. You've had a little bit of a dip in week one where you played great for three quarters and it didn't work out for you. Well, now you're getting to the week-to-week stuff. And remember, the bye week for this team is, what, week 14 or something insane, you know, damn near after Thanksgiving, and you can finish your Christmas shopping on the bye week. I mean, it's just crazy. But I think this is the part where we kind of got to slow it down and say, okay, what did they do well last week that you feel like they can do well again this week? The most encouraging thing, and I'll stick with this, since week one has been the ability to run the ball. And Mike, remember when we talked about running it with the different people?
Right.
Well, now we're starting to see different people. I mean, Cordell certainly had 100 yards, 140, a career high, and he's doing a terrific job. But the fact Tyler Allgeier carried it six times for 25 yards, you got something more than 4 yards a carry from Tyler Allgeier. That's pretty good. And then the other thing, too, is that London and Pitts were really good, but so were a lot of other guys, too. I mean, you had a couple catches for OZ. You had, you know, a couple catches for Cordarrelle Hodge. I mean, you're getting guys now who are doing some things that I think that can help you long term, and that's the encouraging part. And, oh, by the way, the left guard didn't play, and it wasn't much of an issue on Sunday in Seattle.
We mentioned, Colby Gossett. I was worried about no Elijah Wilkinson, and you didn't ever hear complaints or nothing about that side of the line. Wes Durham was with us, guys. And it's funny because, look, it's in the rear view now, but part of the reason why Matt Ryan struggled so much after 17 was we didn't have any of this run game. If you get a run game, Chuck Smith brought it up earlier, then the play action, all of a sudden teams can't just pin their ears back, and that gets all your playmakers on the edge involved. So I guess the question, Myles Garrett in a car accident, not sure if it's going to be 100%, but when you look at the Browns, they're very similar. Arthur Smith talked about it on Monday. Very physical team. They want to pound the rock with Chubb. So it's very similar styles?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the ratios and the percentages are probably a little different, but, I mean, when you look at them on third down, I mean, Cleveland is 47.8. Atlanta's, you know, right about 40%. Defensively, Atlanta's 47.5%. Cleveland's pretty good. I mean, they're middle of the pack on third down at 37%. But the ratios in the run game, I mean, they run it for, you know, golly. I mean, they're running it for 191 yards a game. I mean, Nick Chubb's an incorporated entity in Cleveland at this point, the way they run it. Atlanta's number five in the run game. I mean, sure, you would say that somebody's going to step up and try and dominate on the ground, but that's easier said than done. I think the real challenge for Atlanta will be, can you run it against the seventh best rush defense in the NFL? If you can do it against a top 10 run defense this early in the season, that's another win, I think. And that's the important part. And, you know, we talk about these small steps, Mike. I think that's a really important step on Sunday. Can you run the ball against a group that's got Taven Bryan up front, that's got Myles Garrett, Jordan Elliott, Alex Wright, and, you know, a couple of other guys that, you know, Jadeveon Clowney's still on this team. I mean, you know, they got proven guys up front, and that's a challenge for sure.
Wes, talk about the emergence of this offensive line, though. It's been a lot better than I thought because now you have an identity as a power running team, basically.
Yeah, but Rob, you're playing a lot of East-West football too, right?
Sure.
I mean, you're doing a lot of things going in space against momentum, away from the strength of the formation at times. You do play into the formation every once in a while. And I think that's obviously part of the scheme as well. But I get back to run pass balance. I mean, I thought before the drone hit on Sunday, they were going to wear them out, run to pass all the way down the field. You know, I mean, I really did. I thought, you know, and Dave said it on the air, you know, the drone kind of stopped the momentum. Of course, you know, 2-3 plays later, I guess, is when the fumble occurred. But the reality of it was they were scheming the hell out of Pete Carroll. That's the bottom line. And I think that that's kind of one of their strengths through the first couple games is their ability to create those run-pass advantages. I agree. You give a lot of credit to the offensive line. Certainly give Jake a lot of credit and Lindstrom and McGarry, the veteran pieces in there. But, you know, Drew Dahlman's played well, right? I mean, let's be honest. He's played well, and we talked about Colby Gossett coming in the other day. Happy for him. But you got to keep this thing going, and I think that's probably the big challenge that Arthur and his staff get to with the team tomorrow.
It is Wes Durham, guys, and, of course, covering college football as well. I mean, Wes, you covered Georgia Tech. You were the voice of the Jackets for so many years. We had a big conversation as a strong arm story yesterday about where is Georgia Tech? Where are they going to go? Obviously, the AD rides and dies with the big hires. So what is the next chapter for Georgia Tech? What should it be?
Oh, I don't know, Mike, that I can give you any kind of, you know, lock-solid answer on what it should be. But I think this is going to be real. Well, first of all, you got to remember the history that was set yesterday. You know, in 130 years of intercollegiate athletics, Georgia Tech, they've never fired an athletic director. Mm. Yesterday they did, wow. Right? The coaching change, they hadn't made a coaching change like that in almost 30 years. Bill Lewis was let go with 3 games to go in the 94 season. An eerily similar situation for Bill Lewis as with Jeff Collins. Great optimism when he was hired. He had come off a terrific run at East Carolina, and they just never seemed to get any momentum built in his tenure. Very similar to Jeff. I think the scenario here with Georgia Tech is the process that has to take place with President Cabrera and certainly Frank Neville, who's now the interim athletic director, in the process of how you go about hiring the AD and the football coach. How much lockstep is there going to be? We know that last year at Miami, again, different situation, Miami hired Mario Cristobal, and then Dan Radakovich became the AD. I think Miami's landscape was totally different than Georgia Tech's. The piece I'm really concerned about, or the piece I'm going to be interested to see how it plays out, Georgia Tech is going to have to answer as many questions as they're going to ask in this process. Because the athletic director position, as you guys know, has become very similar to coaching, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, ADs are wanted people on the perspective of major college athletics now. Not often do you know, bring one through your system and have him stay on site. That's why Josh Brooks, I think, has, you know, been a nice hire at Georgia. It looks like Graham Neff at Clemson. They worked for those people who they were with. Georgia Tech doesn't have that advantage. Georgia Tech's going to have to find somebody to come in. But Dr. Cabrera, the Board of Trustees, the Foundation Board, headed up by Al Trujillo, they're going to have to answer difficult questions to these candidates about what athletics is going to be in the next 5 or 10 years, if that makes sense. Because the landscape is totally different. It's totally different than when Paul Johnson retired to now. And, you know, that's got to be taken into consideration. And I do believe that will affect the pool for not only the football coach, but the athletic director as well.
How far behind is Georgia Tech facilities-wise compared to the 5-star resorts that you're seeing dotting the landscape in college football?
Well, in my opinion, and, you know, obviously I spent 18 years there, as Mike said, doing the ball games. Rob, I think they are, in my opinion, they're in the bottom 5 of the ACC in terms of facilities. And, you know, they've got to look at Bobby Dodd Stadium from a fan experience and a revenue generation piece. They are doing things. They've obviously refurbished the locker room. They're doing some things with the renovation and remodeling of the Edge building, the Edge Rice Center, it's going to be called, as I understand. They now control the Wardlaw Center, which is the 3-story building in the south end zone. What is that ultimately going to be? And the next AD is going to have that and more on their plate, not to mention all the other things that have developed in college athletics in the last 5 years. Or most notably in the last 3. Yeah, NIL, collectives, massive transfer portal scenarios. I mean, remember, you know, a few years ago, Georgia Tech had guys that would, you know, take 5 years to graduate, had a season of eligibility, and try to go to grad school, and oftentimes didn't work out for them to get into grad school. Roddy Jones kind of changed the course of that a little bit. Daryl Richard kind of changed the course of that a little bit. Now I think they're able to pull that off. Well, that's one step to help, but how does the transfer portal work? Georgia Tech's been pretty, you know, and rightly so. It's a proud institution. It's been difficult sometimes to get transfers in there, right, with curriculum and things like that. So I think that's where the bigger picture is for anybody who wants to come here as the AD or the coach. And I'm not trying to be the doomsday guy. I'm trying to be the reality guy about, you know, the decision the Institute has to make as to, you know, where they want to be in this process in the next 10 years. That's a tough choice, guys. Every school is not built like Alabama. Every school is not built like Georgia. Or, you know, the wannabe of Texas, or the wannabe, you know, every school, very few are elite, a lot are relevant.
And that's what Wake is, Wes, that's what we said about Wake. I mean, Wake does it with a small undergrad. I mean, if they got some, you know, some deep-pocketed alum, but they seem to have they always seem to be relevant, whether it was Grove, the present coach. They always seem to be in the mix, at least, or in the cusp of the top 25.
Mike, they've got three incredible, very philanthropic leaders in terms of guys who are making sure that Wake Forest Athletics is going to succeed. One of them's in Atlanta, Mitch Shaw, right? You know, they're determined to see Wake Forest through. Wake Forest also has something in a far bigger case than Georgia Tech. They have a liberal curriculum for a private institution. Georgia Tech's a public institution. Now, they've done a better job of creating avenues of interest beyond engineering and beyond all the other, you know, deep research and technological areas that typically Georgia Tech is known for. Some of that's changed in the last 10 to 15 years, and that's a good thing, right? It's allowed them to recruit on more of a parallel, but there's got to be more. This is the time where schools, unfortunately, whether they have a coach and AD change or not, are having to make decisions about how deep in the pool you want to swim here, if you follow me, right?
Yep.
And not every school's going to the deep end and just cannonballing into the deep end of the pool and throwing their arms up in the air and saying, by God, we're here, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at Stanford. Stanford's having a hard time competing right now in the Pac-12, and it's because Stanford is not looking at the game the same way maybe as they did 5, 6, 7 years ago before all this happened, right?
Right.
I mean, the transfer portal's been a hot mess for some schools. Look at the scenario at Georgia Tech. How did Jeff Collins' downfall start? It started with the transfer portal. Think about it.
Yeah,
I mean,
guys jumping.
There was a revolving door down there at Bobby Dodd and Techwood for a while.
Wes, the story's going to keep on trucking. Again, we'll talk about it next week. And it's just tough because, as you know, we've seen when it's good, it can be good again.
Calling John Dewberry, yeah. Put some commas in the check, please.
Hey, man, Wes.
Well, I tell you this. I mean, don't forget, you know, that the guy that was there, and I'm not comparing, you know, coaches here, the guy that was there played in three ACC title games and sent them to two Orange Bowls.
Right.
And you know how that works, Mike. I mean, it wasn't sexy all the time. It wasn't always maybe fan-friendly all the time with Paul, but they were successful. And I'm sorry it didn't work for Jeff. I like him as a person, but I think there were a lot of elements that factored into that, and I feel badly for Todd, too, because he and Karen are terrific people. But, you know, this is now, as you guys know better than anybody, you talk about every day, this is a big-time business, and there is an expectation level that has to be met on some degree.
Wes, so good to talk to you again, my brother. Have a great call on Sunday. We will be listening. Thank you, sir.
Okay, guys. Be well. Take care. Be well, Rob.
That's our man, Wes Druham. We'll come back, guys. Got some guy talk for you. What is Hurricane Ian going to do sports plans? How's it going to affect Georgia sports? And would Rob Tribble eat an adult Happy Meal? Coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
It's time for fun. It's time for guy talk.
Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans.
We ran a little late with Wes. We will pack it all to about 6 minutes of serious content. Hey, real quick, just got the news. We're going to be at Twin Peaks in Buckhead, guys. Going to be a lot of fun Friday. You and me in a bar doing a radio
show. So I guess I'm Ubering
show.
To that show, aren't
Damn
I?
Damn right. Carl's off this week. Rob Tribble's in. We'll be at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Join the party, pal. Bring bail money if Tribble's here. It's going to be a lot of fun. Hey, the latest on Hurricane Ian. Obviously, it's intensifying in the warm waters of the Gulf. You guys have been watching this stuff. Obviously, you got travel plans or sports plans this weekend. Big series with the Mets and the Bravos. The latest model, there'll be another one coming out at 5, but the latest European model, which a lot of guys think is more accurate than what we bring, is taking this thing over Tampa and then making a right turn and basically going up I-4. So it looks like Orlando is going to get more rain, a lot of flooding, obviously, concerns. But just purely from a Georgia standpoint, it looks like it will be sort of going that way, going east. Yeah. So perhaps we'll get, you know, the usual stuff, high winds and everything. But it does seem right now, at least from what I'm looking at here on the Weather Channel and everything else, that it's going to go skirting over the middle of Florida, make a right turn basically at Tampa Bay.
My girlfriend's elderly aunt and some of her kids are right there on Treasure Island, which is off of Tampa.
Gotta go.
They have evacuated.
Yeah.
And it could disappear from the face of the earth. They have that 10-foot storm surge. So.
Right. So I got a bunch of people coming to my house, it looks like, tonight from Tampa. So, there we go. Party. We'll have a party on the pergola. Anyway, a couple of stories real quick. Phil Mickelson drops the lawsuit. He and the other golfers, they don't really need to be in the lawsuit against the PGA because LIV Golf has got their own lawsuit. So Phil Mickelnuts, for what it's worth. Work for those guys. They're crazy. They killed that guy. He's out of the lawsuit. McDonald's has got a new idea for a Happy Meal, teaming up with a streetwear brand to create a new line of Happy Meals for grown-ups. Giant Burger Chain's Happy Meal for Adults, designed by Cactus Plant Flea Market, which has done projects with Kanye West and Pharrell Williams, choice of food items, and toy surprises for adults. Would you be interested?
Is this Beyond Meat? Is that what it is?
No, it's regular meat. Big Mac and 10-piece chicken nuggets, all the usual stuff you'd expect, but with, like, adult-themed, like, toys and stuff that you might want to have as a collectible. Not like sexual aids.
Oh, I was about to say phallic-shaped adult toys.
Talking about
ointments?
No. They'll be available October 3rd in stores, drive-through, and the McDonald's app, reigniting a new generation's love for our food and the brand with all sorts of little cute toys, items like T-shirts, a Grimace chair, things where you can link to get merchandise, basically.
Now,
where
Grimace actually, chair might be good for your man cave,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so you'd actually get it, and there'd be either a barcode or a QR, whatever the hell, and you do that, and you got your stuff. So
well,
you
good
go.
For them.
Do you ever decide what Grimace is?
Yeah, he's the cousin of the West Kentucky Hilltoppers mascot. Grimace has body issues.
He's Snuffleupagus, his second cousin.
He has his mother's hips. He has to accept that. But Grimace is he's just a big triangular-shaped dude. Hey, we do the birthdays on the program, and I'll just jump the gun real quick because it's Arthur Blank's 80th birthday today.
Arthur's 80?
80 years old, man. We've always had a great rapport with Arthur. You've heard him on the show dozens of times. He's always been really gracious with us.
Yep.
And again, look, he might not get the results, but you know, unlike some owners in sports, he really, really wants to win.
He cares. He wants to win badly.
I think if you talk to Arthur in hindsight, probably loyal to a fault at times with some of the guys he's had in the
good
general
story
manager's
for chair. You know the first Home Depot. There's two of them. The first one of the very first ones, Memorial Drive, DeKalb County, where the DeKalb County Jail is. Guy in high school, he's 3 years older than me. He started working there from day one. He retired about 15 years ago from Home Depot, probably about 17 to 20 million in the bank
because
he
got
the stock early too and everything else.
It's one of the
didn't I do that? It was right there, Mike.
It's a great American success story with Bernie and Arthur. And again, I know we live in a world now where apparently no one can have a great American success story because no one believes in actually putting the work in or having some gumption and all that drives me freaking crazy. But Arthur Blank's a living testament to it, and he's a good dude. Now, brings us to a really great soundbite. John Abraham goes on the podcast Beyond the Mask. It's our buddy Tutan Reyes and Takeo Spikes, two guys that we're buddies with here on the show. This stuff is great. They're asking John Abraham when he was looking to get out of the Jets, and his agent was working some angles about what exactly his options were, maybe coming to Atlanta, and his interaction with Arthur Blank. Take a listen.
Agent called. He's like, look, Atlanta want to look at you. I said, make it happen. He's like, no, but John, it's like $1.5 million less. I said, bro, make that happen. But by the time we got to Atlanta, came out one of the smoothest dudes ever, man. Like, when I said, You ever seen somebody that smell like money and look like money? Like, I don't know who made that song, but they must have been around Arthur Blank.
Like, that was Abel, wasn't it?
Oh. What it smell like money. What it look like.
I told
look
my sister, now, you can take one for the team. Wow. That gets some of that Home Depot money, boy. That gets some, you got to take one for the team, boy. I'm trying to take. I'm like, cool, this dude is too cool. Hey, he came in like just how we sitting right here. So I came in there. You know, his game is so tight, though, man. You know, you see people with game. You know, he's sitting there with his leg crossed. You know what I'm saying? I came in there and I said, he's like, hey, how you doing? I said, what's going on, man? John, nice to meet you. And I'm nervous as hell because I ain't never seen nobody look like this. Yeah. We had, think about it, I went from Woody Johnson to Arthur Blank. And if anybody know, y'all Google it. Look at what you'll see the swag is on a whole different level. Yeah.
It's great stuff. I got the link up at Mike Bell ATL.
You heard Smells like money.
You've heard Tutan and Takeo on the show. They got a really cool podcast. I love the Predator. I think he should get a shot at the Hall of Fame, but really cool stuff. Hey, let's hit the closing bell. And speaking of smells like money, that's money burning. Is that smell as the S&P is down Tuesday? Another bear market, brother. NASDAQ 26 up. That's about it. Dow Jones down 129. Birthdays, you mentioned Arthur Blank turns 80. Meatloaf would be 75 today.
Great in Fight Club.
Dude.
Great in Fight Club.
I saw real quick. I know we're running behind. Meatloaf, I saw him when he was between record deals in 1989 at a small nightclub in Long Island. And he left it all on the stage, played for 3 hours. You'd never know the guy. You'd have thought he could be playing in front of 50,000 people instead of maybe, you know, 1,000. That's the kind of dude he was. Mike Schmidt, 73, one of the greatest to ever dress out. Steve Kerr is 57 today. Lil Wayne is 40 today. Wow. Avril Lavigne is 38 today.
I heard that's not her. She's actually a clone.
Gwyneth Paltrow. Boy, she had a
awful
touch
woman
of reality, 50 years old today.
I don't even want to smell her candle.
Yeah, nor do I. Trick Daddy is 49. That's Bob Rathman's favorite hip-hop artist. Did you know that? That's true, Rap. I can't get enough of thug matrimony.
He's an aficionado,
to
isn't
the streets.
He?
I'm a thug. Please, Bob. Also today, speaking of Hawks, big hit for us in the draft. Ed Gray turns 47 today, former 22nd overall pick.
Well, I thought you said Ed Ginn, the serial killer. My bad.
No, Ed Gray. Oh, hey, bad. Sam Adams, the beer guy and the Patriot born today. Dick Schaap's birthday today.
Great writer.
Yes. Wilford Brimley, talk about your diabetes. He's gone, but it's his birthday today.
When he did Cocoon, he was my age. He was younger than me now.
Yes,
he
always looked old. And then Tom Hanks beat him up with a briefcase. That wasn't right in the firm. And Don Cornelius, Soul Train. Soul Train scramble board, baby. His birthday today. That's Guy Talk here. We'll come back. Falcons, more stuff to talk about. A winnable game against Cleveland. We'll get into it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.